Time for Windows Weekly. Paul Theron and Mary Jo Foley are here. Microsoft earnings are coming out later in the day, so we'll just kind of talk a little bit around that. But there is some really big news, perhaps a big acquisition in the works for Microsoft. News about the Intel flaw and what Microsoft's doing about it and a whole lot more coming up next. It's time for Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Theron and Mary Jo Foley. Episode 555, recorded Wednesday, January 31st, 2018. Granny Theft Auto. Windows Weekly is brought to you by WordPress. Make WordPress.com your online home. Plans start at just $4 a month. Go to WordPress.com/Windows and get 15% off your brand new website today. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we cover the latest news from Microsoft. Our Microsoft experts are here to regale you with their Tales of Redmond. That would be a good name for a blog, wouldn't it?
Tales of Redmond.
Tales from Redmond.
Tales of the Vienna Woods. That's Mary Jo Foley. She's from allaboutmicrosoft.com, her ZDNet blog. The vanity URL is her own.
It is.
It's just easier than saying ZDNet.com.
It
slash,
is.
I don't know.
Yes.
Is it just slash Mary Jo Foley or?
No, it's ZDNet.com/blog/Microsoft or something like that.
Why wouldn't you just want to use that URL?
AllaboutMicrosoft.com. Theron had the right idea. Probably Foley.com was taken.
If I had had a simpler name, I would have had a good idea.
Yeah. THURROGood.com for Theron.com. That's where he blogs on a regular basis. They're not blogs. I hate the word blog. I hate the word blog like I hate the word podcast. It's demeaning. It's diminutive. It's pejorative.
I don't mind it. Do you?
Don't you feel like somebody's in the basement?
It used to really bother me, and now I just don't care.
It's a website. It's a public. And nowadays, that means it's a publication.
True.
Sure.
Right? It's a journal of higher things.
Well, it's a journal of
sometimes.
Things.
Sometimes.
Paul does keep one foot in the 19th century by writing books. You can find them at leanpub.com.
He does.
Writes them with a quill pen on parchment.
Yeah.
I can hear the scratching now. Let's see here. What I didn't even hear about this story. What is Polaris?
This is a long story, but I'm going to make it short.
We got lots of time.
Okay.
Chinese food's coming. Make it long.
Okay. So this all started back in the fall of 2017 when our buddy, the Walking Cat, tweeted one day, I found a new code name along the lines of Andromeda. It's Polaris. Hmm. And so I remember seeing that tweet and thinking, I should look into that. And I never really looked that hard into it and never really gave it much thought. And then recently, Windows Central started doing a bunch of articles about this is what Polaris is, and we think it's the future of Windows and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wow, I should look into this if it's the future of Windows. Wow.
All I have is a big X.
Yeah, I like the plain text version of your website, though.
What the hell is this, Mary Jo?
Wait, what happened?
That is weird.
What is that?
There it goes. Okay. Looks like bizarre. I only got the content.
Oh, the
CSS
ad or whatever. Yeah.
Or something, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so then I've been asking around about it for a couple weeks after Windows Central started writing about it. And so finally I found out some information. And this is kind of complex, but Microsoft, as we know, has been trying to fix Windows for years, right? Like there were all these dependencies in Windows, and I called it a giant hairball. I don't think I'm the only one who's used that metaphor.
That was Scott McNeely, but he was referring to Office.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So they've been trying to go back and try to clean up Windows so that it is easier to get it to work across a variety of form factors. And they had this thing called One Core that we knew about, which was the common Windows 10 core that Microsoft said was on all devices that they were making. So One core was inside of Windows 10 PCs, and it was inside of the HoloLens and Xbox. It was supposedly like the common core that could be shared across all these different platforms. Well, it turns out one core wasn't really one core. It was kind of one core, but it also had a lot of things that the different device type different device types had to strip in or strip out to make them actually work on the devices. So yeah, there was a core. It was kind of common, but there's a new idea now that they could make it better. And so they I wrote about this last year called Andromeda OS. That is the idea of making one core even better, making it truly a common core that works across all these device types. So now we know Andromeda OS has a new code name, which is good because that was super confusing that there was an Andromeda OS and then this device called Andromeda. So the new way to think about the new one core is called Windows Core OS, WCOS to your friends.
You said this was going to be complicated.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Right. So WCOS is what they're building now in the Windows team to be at some point in the future the core that they build everything on top of. Right now, nothing inside of Microsoft that's shipping today is built on top of WCOS. But the first thing that will be is the Andromeda dual screen hardware that we think could come out later this year or early next year. That's going to be the very first new device type that has this inside. At the same time, Microsoft wasn't just worrying about the core. They also were worrying about the shell because the Windows shell is not common across all these device types. In fact, there's quite a few divergences in the shell depending on what kind of form factor you're using. So they had this idea, hey, what if we also could make the shell something that was more of a common set of components that could be used in different device types depending on what you wanted? Like say you had a mobile device type shell, you had an AR/VR shell, you had a Surface Hub shell, but they had quite a bit in common across these shells. That's what they're doing with this thing called C shell, if you've heard about that. C shell, composable shell. Now we get to Polaris. So Polaris is one of the shells that they're building. It's a desktop type shell that's going to be on top of WCOS, if they can ever pull this off. They're building other kinds of shells. They're building a new shell for Surface Hub that's codenamed Aruba, I've read from other sites. They've got one that's going to be for AR/VR devices, codenamed Oasis. And then there's Polaris. So Polaris's idea is, what if we could actually make the Windows shell more simple, more streamlined, and not have any Win32 dependencies in it? So right now, it's a project more than a product, from what I've heard. You know, it's aspirational. It's an idea.
It's kind of like Longhorn.
I know. In a way, it is, right? It's like, it's a concept.
Yeah. With maybe the same like prospects Cairo or yeah. Longhorn, right?
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it, I think. So the reason I think Windows Central and some other sites said this is the future of Windows is if they ever can pull off Polaris on top of WCOS, this could be the successor to Windows 10 XS.
Right.
Because the idea is if you could do that, you wouldn't have any Win32 code in Windows, and you wouldn't have any Win32 apps running on Windows. But that's a lot of ifs, right? That's a lot of things to pull off. So yeah, that's what Polaris is.
I mean, this is what you do as an operating systems company. If you're kind of, you know, you're always thinking, how can we clean this up?
Yeah. Google's working on whatever that thing is called. That's
Fuchsia, right?
You know, I don't know if this is may or may not be Fuchsia. Fuchsia seems like it's a replacement. Like, I don't know what. No one.
Yeah, I think Fuchsia is like Midori. Well, if you remember Microsoft Midori,
it's like if we started from scratch.
Yep.
Knowing what we now know, what would we do? But it's a what it shows, if you look at Fuchsia as its current status, is how much work goes into a fully functioning operating system.
Yeah.
It's years.
Yeah, starting over sounds great until you start over and you don't have anything.
You have nothing.
Yeah.
You know, I always use the Mac OS X example. The first version of that shipped without the without a DVD player.
Right.
You know, and it was just kind of a basic feature at the time. Why don't we have this? It's like, well, we're starting over from scratch.
And that wasn't really starting over from scratch. That's
no, I know.
Next step. That's they had a full. So, like Fuchsia, the guy who's been writing the text editor has been working on it for 3 years, and it's still like it's not even as good as Notepad. So
well, what is?
Well,
I mean, but
good point.
But on the Windows side, you know, the trick with Windows 10S is that it's really Windows 10 Pro, and what they're doing is hiding Win32. As much as they can, but you can't hide it. It's integral to the system. Yeah. It comes with Win32 is, you know, there are a bunch of Win32 apps running on it.
But this is the problem any new operating system has. It won't run existing apps.
Right? Yes.
Yeah. Right.
So if you throw out Win32, you're really, boy, you're tearing it down.
Right, but the long game here is you're targeting a more mobile and lower-end kind of form factor, and while you're doing it, hopefully the store grows up to the point where, you know, not having those desktop apps is okay.
Right.
Now, we just started, I don't know if you saw this, Mauricio, but Tom Warren today tweeted this thing that was a Microsoft Store app called Thief of Seas.
I did. I saw that.
Which is a ripoff of an actual game called Sea of Thieves.
Right.
And they charged for it, and it was on sale. So... that's sadly,
how do you
everything
stuff
you need
like
to know
that.
About the quality of the store. It's
especially
unbelievable.
Sea of Thieves is a Microsoft Studio game.
Yes, no, it's unbelievable. Like the lack of oversight on this is terrible. Yeah. So, when she describes this kind of as a project, it's a forward leaning thing. It's not going to come out this year or next year. Probably this is years down the road. And the other thing I just say, you know, I think Leo mentioned Longhorn. You know, since Longhorn, Microsoft has undergone various efforts to componentize Windows. In fact, that was in many ways the central work of Longhorn that did survive was the componentization stuff. And it's funny how it comes up from time to time. You know, you could even view last week's news about that new version of Mac Office sharing a bunch of code with other versions of Office on other platforms is the same kind of effort in a sense that if you componentize this product, you're able to bring in cross-compatible components from other platforms too. That's one of the other nice benefits of that. And I feel like we've been talking about this for 20 years. Like they've been working on this kind of thing for a while. But
you want to hear a crazy componentization story about Windows? I think I've told you this before, Paul. I don't know if I've ever told it on Windows Weekly, but when Jim Altman was running Windows and they were working on Longhorn. I remember I was on campus one day and I went into whatever building they were doing this in. And there was a poster that was like two or three stories tall inside one of the stairwells. And it was a diagram of Windows. And I'm not even making this up. And it showed how all the like things were integrated together and the subsystems.
It's not component. It's like a mesh
and I was just
lines
like, whoa, it looked like a ball of yarn. Kind of.
We had to build a special printer just to make this poster.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was before like cell phones really were that prevalent and all. And I was thinking, wow, I want a picture of this, but I don't have a camera. Oh, you know, they probably wouldn't have let me.
No, it is a literal hairball. I mean, that is the problem.
But that's not Microsoft's fault. It's what happens over time.
It is.
No, it's right. It's the legacy of the whole thing. I mean, remember this whole DLL thing, and you've heard of DLL hell, of course, and Microsoft promised to solve that problem 15, 18 years ago, whatever. All came out of the fact that when Windows was first made, it was running on top of DOS. It had split memory and not a lot of memory, and you had to share components and load them in and out of memory, and this was the system they came up with. And it's, you know, it made sense at the time, and here we are. It's like any great tradition. We don't remember why we do it. It doesn't matter. We're stuck with it.
Yep. And, you know, so another kind of, I didn't put this in my blog post when I was writing about this because I felt like it was already getting too long. But if they ever do pull off this Polaris on top of Windows Core OS, it doesn't necessarily mean that it only will run UWP apps, because I think they're being realistic here. And it's like they want to strip all the Win32 dependencies and code out of Windows, but they're like, but what if the store doesn't take off, right? So they're thinking ahead, too, about how could
this
we get
this is where your troubles begin.
I know. How can we get Win32 apps to run on here? And so I've heard they're thinking
We'll have a DLL that will load Win32.
This is exactly what goes wrong.
I know.
This is why you need a dictator who says, no.
That's right.
We're not going to do that.
I agree with that 100%.
I know. I think they got to have a backup.
They're not they can't say no to anything. They brag.
Because you know why? Their bread and butter is the Enterprise. The Enterprise needs these crazy line of business apps.
It's their business. So really, they should skunkworks it just as Steve Jobs did with the original Macintosh. They should get a building on the edge of the campus, raise a pirate flag.
You don't want to draw attention to yourself.
And Jobs famously went around and it pissed everybody at Apple off, went around Apple and took the best programmers off of many different projects and said, come on, you're coming with me.
Well, the problem is Microsoft's corporate structure is such that that kind of thing is not really possible, right? I mean, the people you'd be taking would still be working under Terry Myerson or whatever, part of that same business.
See, that's what you need, though. You need somebody. Satya's got to pick a pirate and say.
They kind of did it with Xbox, right? Xbox was a skunk works like that at the beginning.
Yeah.
Well, right, but that's hardware. Because it was a different company then, and they didn't have that part of the business, right? I mean, you can't make a new version of Windows without involving the guys that make Windows.
Oh, you have to. that's the whole point.
Maybe they could steal Mark Rusinovich back and say, look, you're the Windows guy, really. I know you're the Azure guy now, but
I don't think he cares anymore.
It's too big. You know, you can't have operating system now.
Yeah.
And it's, by the way, why you just don't see competing operating systems springing up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
How long has How
long
has Fuchsia been in the works? At least 4 or 5 years, and it's very
Midori. You guys remember Midori? That was
I was gonna say the Google stuff in some ways is less complicated because they just don't have the same rich decades long history that Windows does. So the one, it does occur to me because it's funny how this has come up a bunch recently. I've been using a Raspberry Pi to build an Amiga emulator, for example, And of course, you can emulate various older video games with the Amiga. We know from the Xbox One that it uses virtualization technology to emulate an Xbox 360 and now an Xbox, the original Xbox. It's given the way these things are going, given the fact that, I think the most amazing thing about the Qualcomm stuff with Windows 10 is that this previously low-end mobile platform is now powerful enough to run x86 code. It's crazy, right? Mm-hmm. We used to emulate smaller systems from bigger systems, right? This thing has now gotten big enough that it can do this. It's possible that the way we move forward is virtualization of some kind, that we build a clean system that is this componentized thing that you're talking about. And we allow people to run backwards compatible apps, Win32 apps, using emulation slash I don't know why I can't say that virtualization. And maybe that solves the problem.
I think that's what they're thinking at this point. I do. How far away is this? I don't know.
You can emulate Office poorly on Linux today. Right, they have this Wine emulator software. Mm-hmm. I mean, who could do this better than Microsoft? Microsoft just figured out how to run x86 on Qualcomm on ARM. You know, it seems like that kind of work could go into getting literally having a hard stop on Win32. Like we're not upgrading this anymore, but we know you need to run those applications, and here's how we do it.
Yeah. I mean, we do know they're trying to get more and more of the Win32 pieces that are still in Windows 10 out, right? I mean, that's what they've been doing gradually with each release and
it's trying glacial, to convert though, things over. Right?
I know.
In RS4, if you're on the Insider Preview, there's a little thing that actually comes up in the ribbon and paint that says, hey, by the way, this is going away. Don't worry, we're going to put it in the store. But I mean, how many releases of Windows? What are they going to do? Like, so maybe the next version they'll get rid of WordPad or something, and then the next version.
You know
after
what's going to happen? Notepad is going to go UWP. It is.
Yes, of course. You could write Notepad in JavaScript. Make it a web app. It should be a PWA.
You could open the developer tools in a web browser and write text. There are a million ways.
You've got libraries for all of that. It's 10 lines.
You'll be okay, Mary Jo. I think it's the point.
I know. I will. I'm just going to get my head around this before it happens.
There's this new operating system called Fuchsia. It's got a great editor called Xi. And, well, you can't save, but hey, otherwise it's great.
You know what's funny that they used fuchsia? It made me think of pink, right?
Yeah. Right. I wonder. It's interesting.
You wonder if that's, pink was the, if it was named after
late
that.
Lamented, the lamented Apple co-venture IBM, with IBM.
Apple and,
Intel may be involved too. Intel's got its fingers, as we know now, in everything.
Yep.
Everything.
And hopefully at least one will work out.
I think it's a great thing. Polaris is a great thing to do. I mean, Microsoft has the resources to
It's to smart this. Work. Yeah, for sure. It's smart to work on this, I should say.
It's going to be a challenge. And we may not see the results for years.
Look, everyone's doing this. There's rumors, again, about Apple looking to bring iPad apps to the Mac. And there's always these people, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't have touch, you know. But, like, yeah, actually, it does make sense. You know, there's just not a lot of new app development going on these traditional platforms anymore.
Well, what it really is you have to rethink what is computing and what is an operating system and what should an operating system do?
Right.
And we're using systems that were designed pre-internet era.
Yeah,
That's why I always call this, I always use the word tradition, because that's what this is. It's a tradition. We're just used to doing it this way. But when you ask, why do we do it this way? No one can answer it. Well, I mean, they can tell you the historical background of why, but, you know, it's like, well, why, but why are we still doing
it's also,
it?
It's also, it's a great challenge to get off that track.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know?
Yep.
It's a really interesting thing. And I, you know, people keep talking about it. If you haunt any of the computing subreddits, you see always people are talking about, well, where's the next great operating system? Mm-hmm. There is no next great operating system.
Yep.
There isn't one. There ought to be one, but there isn't one. I don't know. Maybe somebody will have to come along and just, you know, work out of a garage and do something. But we've just come along so far.
I don't see this happening. Yeah. I really thought
if they ever did, well, I didn't know if Midori, you know, if you guys remember Midori was this like 10-year plus project at Microsoft to build a new operating system that was not Windows. Wow. And they had all the big guns on it.
When was this? When did Midori start?
When was the first reference to Midori? I should know. And I had it.
Who was in charge of this? Like, what was the group?
Eric Rutter at one point was in charge of it.
Yep.
So let's see. Midori. Let's see, 2008.
Yikes.
That was the first reference to Midori. They were trying to build a version. They were trying to build an operating system that was not Windows. They took a team of like the who's who in programming at Microsoft, and they were trying to build a type safe operating system. So they were doing everything, like building the tools, building everything. And it kept sticking around and growing. The team kept growing, and they added distinguished engineers and tech fellows. And then Eric Rutter took it over, and I'm like, man, they're going to bring this thing to market. And then they killed it.
You know, it's – well, okay, but I think the raise – if you think about this, 2008, right? This is almost certainly a reaction to Windows Vista. And maybe – and that notes, remember, the deal with Windows Vista was they had componentized it, right? So they had groups working on all the little pieces of the operating system. And then when they brought it all together to compile it, essentially, it didn't work. And that was when Jim Altshuler had to go to Bill Gates and say, we're not going to be able to do this thing, you know, this Longhorn thing. They thought, it was Windows. Like, we've always been able to do this, right? Mm-hmm. And, of course, Windows Vista was the result. So it seems like this was a reaction to that. Mm. In the same way that Polaris is no doubt a reaction to the current situation, which is, we can't seem to shake this Win32 legacy. Mm-hmm. Win32, which was Win16, which was never called that before. But, it really kind of dates back to, like, 1990, mm-hmm. right? This is old stuff.
Yep. It was amazing. I remember first hearing about Midori, and I thought, they can't be building something that's not Windows at Microsoft. That's an operating system, right?
It's a different era. Sure.
And remember, but the more I listen to it, I'm like, they are. And it was a total secret project. Like, nobody even used the code name for a while. And at the end, before they killed it, they had like 100 people working on it who are pretty high level people at Microsoft.
Right.
Who went on to do his own thing, Joe Duffy. He was the development manager and language architect for Midori. He ended up writing a blog post series about, here's what we learned from Midori. Here's what we did wrong. And he even admitted in the blogs, we didn't know where this thing was going to go. We never even knew if it was going to come to market. But it was awesome.
Do you think Sanofsky killed it? He does have a rich history of killing things that compete with what he's doing.
2015 is when he was gone it was
by that.
Basically right? abandoned. Yeah,
2012 was Windows 8.
Yeah. So it was it was still alive while he was there.
Interesting.
Yep. Yeah. But that's one of those things you're like, wow, are they really going to do this? And I remember Frank Shaw trying to downplay it when I started writing, but he goes, Mary Jo, don't fuel the fire on this. You know, like,
we're trying to keep this a secret.
I'm like, but you guys are building an operating system. You're building an operating system that's not Windows. And he's like,
and you think that's news?
Well, it's not just an exercise, or is it? I mean,
I know. I don't think it was.
Hey, exercises turn into things. Remember, Microsoft was going OS 2, and two guys in a basement somewhere in some building at Microsoft figured out a way to make Windows 3 make sense. And that changed the course of history. So you never know.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, so it didn't happen. But they, you know, to this date, you see people say, we learned this from Midori and we're trying to incorporate it into what we're doing with .NET or languages or compilers or whatever. And it's like, okay, they didn't just throw everything away. They learned a lot of things from it, but the operating system.
Yeah, what they learned was doing this is going to be next to impossible. Let's punt it to the next guy.
Yeah. And politically, it was kind of impossible, too. Like, okay, what do you say? Like, hey, guys, here's the new operating system.
Well, they would have called it Windows something, right? I mean, that's the way everything was back then.
I don't think they were going to call it Windows something. Really? They were trying to make
remember,
a point
they branded everything Windows. I referenced in a post the other day that there used to be a product called Windows Media Player for Mac. Seriously?
Right.
Seriously. That's what you're going to call it?
That's pretty funny.
I mean, Windows Messenger for Mac. Wasn't it Windows Azure?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
No, that's what I mean. Back then, you know, depending on when it would have shipped, they might have called it Windows. I mean, Windows NT. There's a reason it's called Windows NT.
So, I think this whole WCOS, Polaris, C-shell thing, this has much more likelihood of becoming something that actually turns into products, right? I mean, when Andromeda comes out, the hardware, it'll be interesting for people like Raph and others to go under the covers and see, like, what's under there, right?
Yeah,
like,
what's there? What isn't there?
Yeah, what isn't there?
What are the real differences? Well, I mean, we've spent so much time lately, this past year, talking about Windows 10S and what it is, you know, and how it's different. And aside from anyone's opinions about the product, I mean, it's very interesting to me, which, by the way, is terrible.
I'm like, stop. Give me the gong, please.
No, I did that for you. I'm sorry.
Thanks.
Aside from any opinions about it, it's this recent change. I think we talked about this last week, where they're using a term they had used before, but they're kind of turning it into the name, it seems, which is Windows 10 Pro in S mode, right? Which ultimately is a more accurate description of what this thing is, because you know, you hear this new version of Windows S, you kind of try to position it in the product family somehow, have it make sense, you know, whatever. And that's what it really is that thing. It's Windows 10 Pro, and it's running in this restrictive mode where you can only run store apps, essentially.
There's also a Windows 10 Enterprise in S mode, right? That exists already.
Yeah, and that's actually why that name makes sense again, right? Yep. Because there are probably enterprise capabilities that are built into that system, but it still has the same app running restriction.
Yep.
The theory there is that an enterprise might want their users to be locked down in that way, which frankly is something I could see if the store made sense, right? I mean,
the Windows first line workers, you know, that whole first line workers.
Yep.
And I think Windows 10 Enterprise in S mode, you know, they talked about that just like so briefly in passing at Ignite. But I think they're going to talk more about that soon, because I think it's going to fit into their whole Microsoft 365 thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in the same way that Midori previously or Polaris are kind of on a slow boil, they have to kind of meet the reality of the market and the Microsoft Store and Windows 10S likewise are kind of on a slow boil. I mean, it's just, we're still kind of waiting. I mean, and, you know, the micros, well, I guess we'll talk about this later, but I mean, things are improving, but it's slow. It's,
yep.
It's happening, but it's kind of ticking along.
Yeah.
Okay. I let you sit long enough.
No, I was looking at Taro Ohonen's tweet. He said, call it Windows 11.
Oh, I'm no. Like, yep.
No, remember that whole thing? It's like, is Windows 10 really the last version of Windows?
Well, it is. I mean, maybe it is, you know, but Polaris might be something besides Windows, right?
Yeah.
No, that makes sense.
It'll be interesting how they present what this is. And maybe they'll just say end users don't care, right? And so we're not going to make it a big deal. Mm-hmm. Right?
You think it'll start in mobile?
Yeah, I think Andromeda, the device, which we think late this year, early next year, will be the first
It won't have
Polaris, right? Because, more like that dual screen tablet thing that we keep seeing patents for. It won't be Polaris on there, though, because that's like a desktop shell. It'll be more like a specialized mobile shell on that one.
Right.
All right, let's get to Windows. We got some patches. We've got a rumor of the week, a big rumor, the squash.
Maybe.
Or maybe not. Okay, now I'm interested. This is something Paul's going to want to think a little bit about. But first, a word from our sponsor. Our show today brought to you by WordPress. That's where I hang my hat, my blog. Every business needs to have a website. That's for sure. And I think a lot of businesses, especially nowadays, and boy, is this a mistake, say, well, I got a Facebook page. That's good enough. Or I have a Twitter account. Or I have an Instagram or a Pinterest account. That's good enough. No, you need to have a website. You should have all the above, but you should have a website because you need a place you control that you can't be kicked out of, worst case scenario. Or, you know, you just don't control what happens to it. The website, everything can refer back to the website. And the website doesn't, and I think people don't do that because they go, well, it's so easy to make a Facebook page. It's easier, literally, easier to make a WordPress.com website than it is to make a Facebook page. That's how easy it is. And it's sure a lot better looking and a lot more customized. And it's your site. You get your own domain name. You pick a template that reflects your ethos. It would be like not having a phone listing. You know, nowadays, not having a website. If I'm doing business with somebody, first thing I do, go on the web, look at what they say. And even if you're in a building trade or something, you go, well, it's not a high tech, man, people, it's how you establish a bond. Your customers can help you then, because with WordPress.com, you get automatic social sharing. So they can, you know, if they like something you wrote, they can tweet it, they can Facebook it. And now suddenly they're amplifying you. They're doing the best kind of advertising of all, word of mouth. But it has to start with a website. And WordPress.com is the easiest way to do it. It's one of the reasons 29% of the entire web, 29%, almost a third of all the sites you visit are WordPress sites, including some of the biggest publications in the world. WordPress.com/Windows. You go there right now. You'll be able to set up a site, pick a template. You don't need to hire an expert. You can do it all yourself. Focus on the content. Let WordPress handle the rest of it. And of course, they've got great support should you need it. Even for things like, I actually asked support, what template should I use? And I described what I was looking for. And they were great. They said, oh, we think you should use this one. They're there 24 hours a day, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, and most of the time on weekends too, so you can always get help. They love helping. They're smart people, and they like, you know how that is. They like, yeah, I can help you with that. Take advantage of that. Plans start at just $4 a month. Hundreds of templates, hundreds of plugins. I have a business plan, which gives me access to all the templates and plugins. Plus, I can bring my own, which I love. They keep it up to date. They keep it secure. They keep the spam off. They have great little, you know, you can check a box and have all your site stuff be optimized for mobile using Google AMP, or it's all HTTPS, so you get, you know, it's all secure. I can go on and on. Why don't you just go to WordPress.com/Windows? And, oh, by the way, when you set up your new site at WordPress.com/Windows, we give you 15% off. 15% off right up front. Get a whole year. You'll save even more. WordPress.com, that's what I do. I buy it by the year. WordPress.com/Windows for 15% off your brand new website. We thank WordPress so much for making Windows Weekly possible. WordPress.com/Windows. Paul Thorott, Mary Jo Foley, talking about Windows. Let's talk about Windows. Let's talk about Intel.
Yes, shall we?
What a freaking...
Oh, man.
Look, the one thing we've known, because Intel was very explicit about this, we're going to be patching our computers for the rest of our known lives. And we just didn't think it would happen so quickly. There was news last week that one of the Intel patches, which, of course, was delivered to users via PC makers, was really buggy. It included systems rebooting spontaneously. In my case, I have my desktop computer to this day still will not reboot correctly.
Oh, did it happen to you?
Yeah.
What OEM? What maker?
It's HP. What's interesting about it is that I have an HP laptop that's in for review, and I kept checking that one. Remember, you know, Steve Gibson came out with that inspector tool.
Yeah.
And so on this computer, I think I did it during a show, actually. I looked at this computer and said, oh, you need a BIOS update. I looked. I did have a BIOS update. I grabbed it, and that's what's screwing it up. It's fine. It's fine. I'm not seeing a lot of stability stuff. But it was very interesting to me on a brand-new laptop from them as well. I never got that BIOS update, and then I found out they're holding on to it.
Yeah,
they're waiting for the fixed one. So
they said, "Whoa!"
I don't know if this is that problem. It probably is, I guess. But if you have a Windows 7, 8X, or 10 PC, and you installed a firmware BIOS update that ultimately originated from Intel, and you're having reliability problems, Microsoft has a patch for you, and you should get it automatically. I have not, actually. I should follow my own advice, because you can download it manually and install it. And you can also, Microsoft also put out some guidance for mostly for IT admins who want to do fixed computers in a different way. In other words, they don't want to ship a software update and then update it again later when the fixed one's out. There are some registry changes you can make that will also apparently fix the problem. But Microsoft has basically stepped into correct Intel's mistake, which I'm sure has done nothing to improve relationships between those two companies.
Oh, man. I know. I wish I could have heard the conversation on that one.
A lot of it would be bleeped out.
Brian here. You know that that patch. You want to hold on to that. You didn't put it out, did you? Oh.
I want to see like a thing with Satya Nadella as Scarface, but he's walking around the table with a cricket bat. You know, it's like a little meeting with Intel. Hey, I wanted to talk about that software patch you gave everybody. That was great. Thanks.
And it's not like Intel, was rushing because they just found out about it. We know now. They told Lenovo.
That's what kills me. We talk a lot about how software makers talk about how if you want to make great software, you have to make your own hardware. This is a huge thing, right? Steve Jobs was all over this. Apple today is still all over this. Google's all over it. Microsoft's over it. That's why we have Surface. But the corollary to that is Intel has always tried to make software, and they're terrible at it. Like, they're awful at it. And you can go back almost 25 years. Remember, well, when Windows 95 came out, which I guess was 22 and a half years ago, they, right after that happened, my phone is ringing for some reason. Right after that happened, Intel shipped multimedia libraries.
Yeah. Hello, Paul.
That's not how cricket works.
I have a cricket bat.
remember the Intel shipped multimedia software for Windows 3.1. Like after Windows 95 shipped, like that was something they did. And Microsoft had a conversation with them, like, here's an idea. Why don't you guys make chips and we'll make the software for Windows? How does that sound?
Now, though, I have to point out the same thing happened to AMD, right? Didn't they have an update that was rebooting AMD systems? Mm-hmm. Was that from AMD?
No. That was Microsoft had shipped a Windows update to fix these bugs,
so
and it
Microsoft
worked on Intel.
Did that to the AMD guys.
Yes,
so.
That's right.
This stuff is
hard.
Yeah,
but we don't care about them.
This stuff is hard.
It's, yes. And like I said, you know, we are going to be dealing with this for a long time to come. So this week or next week or a month from now, whatever, there's going to be a patch or two patches and 3 months and 6 months and 9 months. There'll be more patches and, you know, things will get better over time. But I really think we're going to be dealing with this for a long time.
Yeah.
Just a mess.
Ugh.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
And, you know, we talked about it, of course, on the Security Now yesterday. And Steve says, he continues to say, there's no evidence of any exploits in the wild. So that's the good news.
Right.
Turned out hackers didn't break your machine. Intel did. But
well, the irony, right? But
oh,
I mean, the other thing is from a I don't know if this is security through obscurity, but if you think about it, the ripe targets here are data centers, cloud data centers, especially. If you're a hacker and you're trying to take advantage of this, it seems like what you want to go after.
Yeah,
than to go after individuals, right? So I think the target has shifted. It doesn't mean that we're safe. I mean, I think we still need to keep up top of this, obviously, but. For the short term, at least, like Steve said, there's no evidence of any code, the malicious code out in the wild.
Yeah, although others have said, we had Greg Farrow from Packet Pushers on Twitter, and he said, oh, of course there's exploits. It's just nobody's going to admit it.
I had that thought as well.
Evidence of that, but.
Yeah, because honestly, this has been a body blow to the very notion of cloud computing. If any of the cloud providers ever came out and said, actually, we've been getting attacked fairly regularly, it could be a huge setback.
There are, however, rules and laws about what they have to reveal. So I don't know.
Yep.
I don't know. It's, you know what? There's no loss on this. It's just terrible.
Yeah.
Yep.
So on your HP that's rebooting, it's dead. Yep. You can't use it.
Mine's not rebooting. No. Yeah, I could actually reverse it. I haven't done so. And the reason I haven't, frankly, is it works fine. So.
No, but I thought you said there was one that was not.
Yeah. No. It works. I don't have one that's unusable. Oh, okay. I have one that wasn't patched, and then I have one that was patched that won't reboot properly. It doesn't spontaneously reboot. I can use it. And that's why I don't think about it. It hangs at reboot. Yeah, so in other words, it goes off and comes back, and it never comes up. So think about it. It's like I have to reboot the computer.
Do you just...
I turn it off, and then it comes on.
Okay, so it's one of those double-clutch reboots. You got to do it twice.
It's fine. I mean, it's not obnoxious enough that I have to...
Is that, you think, what's happening to most people? It's not boot loops? It's not...
No, I heard that there were spontaneous reboots. So I've just not experienced that personally. But I think some people it's worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. So the good news is what? Is there?
The good news, I think, is most normals didn't actually go get the buggy patch because they didn't even know they had to.
They were too slow to get it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
like me. Like, I was like, oh, should I get it? I don't know.
Wow.
No. And then it was like, oh, good.
That
I didn't
saved
get it.
You. Wow.
I'm compulsive about this stuff. And it honestly doesn't have anything to do with what just happened, although maybe this played a role. But on these computers, if I'm using an HP computer, for example, they have software called the HP Support Assistant, which is where you can download driver updates and other software. And the truth is, I kind of routinely look at that. I will bring up the Microsoft Store and go up to the menu, bring downloads and installs or whatever, and look for updates on apps, even though that's completely pointless. You'll get those updates pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. So I'm terrible because I'll be like, oh, an update. I'll install it. I'll install everything. So, it's not surprising I would have got hit by this.
And what is the advice now for people listening?
You're all screwed. So,
is there any way? What should they do?
I think normal people should just act normal. Like Mary Jo said, they didn't get hit by this because they weren't looking for it. So for the most part, I mean, Microsoft did ship some stuff to AMD users. And obviously there are examples over time of Windows Update going south on people. But I think it's okay to let your computer do its normal thing and do it on its normal schedule. If there was an emergency, that might be a different situation if we're actively being hacked, et cetera. So we're not. And for now, I would just say, as you were, and kind of let things happen. At some point, Intel is going to release the fixed patch. And then at that point, maybe you start looking at your PC Maker software to see what's available.
Yeah. Wow. Just amazing.
I think basically shelter in place is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Just amazing. In other security news.
Yeah. It's turned into that kind of show.
What is scareware?
You know when you get those messages on your PC that say, like, we just looked at your registry and you have 48 problems that we could fix if you download our utility right now.
Oh, boy.
That's scareware. Okay.
And that's, it's not a virus. It's just, and what is their goal? To get you to install something or download?
Yeah, to get you to buy their program, right? To supposedly fix
registry
all these
cleaner things.
And where
whatever.
Do you get this stuff? How does this happen to you?
Oh, man. I've had it happen to me on my Android phone a couple times.
Yeah. I get calls on the radio show from people. And I don't, is it a website?
I think it's a web ad, right?
Ads. So you hit a website. Like sometimes I go to cooking sites that I've never been to and suddenly it'll show up on my phone and I'm like, oh, so it's in an ad that I somehow touched.
Yeah,
on the,
that's right.
On the phone. Right. Yeah. And so it's Microsoft said finally, it's I was surprised they don't already do this, but as of March 1st, Windows Defender antivirus is going to block these kinds of programs.
So it'll block the pop-up, basically.
Right.
We used to have to go to an all-night infomercial channel to see ads for a software of this kind.
Seeing lately, and it really infuriates me, it's one of the 24-hour news channels, I can't remember which one, an ad for a product, and what really infuriates me is they have police officers in uniform endorsing this.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's called PC-Matic. And it's, you know, the idea is download this and you'll have no more problems. And it, first of all, I thought it was illegal for, I mean, you're on the taxpayer's dime doing an ad for a product of dubious value that you are not smart enough to know it's not good.
Right.
And then I think of all the people saying, well, but law enforcement's recommending this. Ugh.
Yeah, it's bad.
People are evil. I'm just sad.
They are. And you know, this kind of stuff preys on people who don't know a lot about
computers.
Well,
that's exactly right. And they trust.
And it's like, it comes up. Like, my mom calls me regularly with these. She's like, I got this thing about registry, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, nope, mom, nope.
The other thing, like, you know, that's important to remember because it doesn't amuse me. It saddens me in a way. I have friends who are very smart and they're in whatever industry that it's not a tech industry thing. They're accountants or bankers or whatever. They're smart.
Yeah.
And they will come to me and say, hey, I got this thing that says I need this and should I get this? Yeah. Or do you recommend getting one of these all-in-one cleaner type program things? And it's like, guys, no. And how is this not immediately obvious? But it's not, right? I mean, it's not just, these are smart people. You know, they're not dummies,
right?
You know?
No, it says it says it's looking inside your PC, and it will even sometimes put like your name of your PC or something in there.
Because that stuff is easily obtained, right?
I'm looking at your.
You could write a web script that does that very easily.
Yeah. So that's when people panic, I think, because they're like, "Wait, they're really looking inside my PC somehow, right?"
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's preying on the ill-informed, you know, and that's wrong.
Yeah.
It's just terrible.
And there are so many things out there that you feel like could happen to you because of all the scary stories about, you know, malware and all. And even if you have antivirus software on your PC, you're like, what? But maybe it got through, right? Like somehow.
Well, the other thing is, I mean, best case scenario with the software is it's useless, right? But the worst case scenario is that it's malicious, right? Which it also could be. And
yeah, true.
You know, there are legit system cleaner utilities out in the world for sure. And they may or may not do anything. It kind of doesn't matter, but they're not malicious. But you know, these types of things you get in a web ad where it's popping up something saying we're examining your computer. And that should raise eyebrows immediately.
Yeah.
It doesn't, unfortunately. I mean, I spend a lot of the radio show talking about this. People call me all the time.
Yeah.
The people listening to the show are savvy enough at this point to know that, oh, well, wait a minute, I shouldn't do anything about this. But then they want to know, well, where is it coming from and how do I get rid of it? And it's just a web. In most cases, it's just JavaScript, right?
Yeah. It's just a web ad. I think that's all it is. It's just, you know.
Well, I'm glad Defender's going to get rid of it. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, you know, and I see people call me all the time and say, no, Leo, it really works. I saw an ad for it.
Yeah. Was it psychosomatic or whatever?
So, well, that's exactly right. It is. It's totally imaginary benefit.
Yeah. Unfortunately, because web advertising has collapsed as like a revenue model, we're probably going to see more and more of this going forward because everyone's trying to figure out some way they can make money on the web, and you start letting in these kinds of things because maybe they'll pay more or whatever. And it's just a terrible cycle.
Terrible. So March 1st we'll start. Are they just going to block the pop-up? I mean, they're going to do some sort of thing.
Yeah, they're going to actually like do proactively search, I think, for certain wording in some of these things. You know, that'll say say to people like, you know, download this now or whatever.
You know, you said you've seen this on a PC or on a phone, you said, and I've seen it on a Mac, and it's always amusing because it comes up looking like Windows. You know, it's like, hey, something's wrong. There's something wrong. All right.
And they're looking for ones too that try to pressure customers to buy something, right? Like, hey, pay, give us $29.95 right now, and we can fix this.
Because that's the
they're looking for that.
A lot of them say free, and then they're not. They start free. First
free to
free.
Install.
Free to install. Windows 10 inbox apps.
Let me guess. It's funny.
Guess who wrote that?
Who doesn't like the Windows? It's 10 inbox.
Especially in Windows 10S, am I right? No. Yeah. So,
Good Lord.
Well, this is actually, by the way, this is a serious problem for Windows 10S because those are the apps, right? And, you know, I sort of raised this issue over time. It's funny, I mentioned the Microsoft Store thing today from Tom Warren's post, or a tweet rather. I mean, there's a problem with the store and the platform, and it kind of starts with Microsoft, and I the thing that I don't quite understand is why those apps that come with Windows 10 aren't showcases that prove to developers and users that this platform is special. You know, those inbox apps are really basic, and they're goofy because they're designed for you touching the screen with your finger, even though I'm using it on a 4K screen that's 27 inches big. And we were just talking about Longhorn. One of the deals with Longhorn was scalable user experiences. Not just things that where text would flow into different forms if, as you move windows around, but also the notion that individual windows or at least the entire screen could scale to the high DPI of the display. UWP doesn't do this very well. And I know, you know, Mary Jo, I think, uses the Mail app and the Calendar app in Windows 10, and they're probably okay. Every time I try to use those apps, the issue I have is that they don't scale. So they scale badly in the sense that whatever your system-wide scaling is, that's what you get in the app. But you can't scale. I can't go in and say, well, I want the fonts to be this big when I read email.
Right.
You can't do it. And that's the
it's
most
really
basic.
No, it is super basic. I agree.
And so,
and if you use Outlook, especially, you're used to having like a lot of capabilities in your email. Even Outlook.com has quite a few capabilities. And then you use this and you're like, wait, what's this? You know,
why is this so ridiculous? But the mail stuff is a really good example because there are probably 7 to 11 different things called Outlook something. You know, some of them are native applications. Some of them are web applications like Outlook.com or Outlook on the web. And they're all over the place, and they all have different sets of capabilities. But if you were kind of make, you know, simple but stupid and then complicated but full-featured, you're going from Windows 10 Mail all the way to Outlook 2016. And, I mean, isn't there a happy middle ground here? I mean, if the Mail app in Windows 10 looked like the new Outlook.com, the one that's currently in beta, that would be amazing, you know?
Yeah.
That's the app. Why isn't it as good as that?
And why isn't it just that, right? Like, why isn't it that?
By the way, absolutely, why isn't it that? That's a great question. It's not. It should be.
Yeah. Although, you know, somebody, I forget who alerted me to this last week on Twitter, but somebody told me, look at the new calendar app that's part of the Outlook.com beta. You can't actually add any details to events. Like, is that going to go? Is that going to be fixed? Because that's so weird, right?
Well, somebody asked me today. This is a different topic, but somebody asked me about that same thing, the Outlook beta, and they said, you know, does this support website notifications? I don't seem to be able to bring these up. Am I missing something? Mm-hmm. And the answer is no. You're not missing anything. It doesn't do it, and that's a huge problem. It's like, well, if it was a PWA, would it do it? Yeah, but it doesn't have to be a PWA to make website notifications. Any site can do that.
Yeah.
And so that's, by the way, I mean, we could maybe Outlook is a different tangent in some ways because that's an area where Microsoft really needs to improve. It's a confusing array of different apps of all stripes called Outlook something on various platforms that all look and work completely differently.
Yeah,
and it's nuts. I mean, that whole situation is nuts.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever, Windows 10S or the store, however you want to quantify it, no one's going to take this thing seriously unless all of that stuff is super high quality. And it starts at home. It starts with Windows 10 itself. Yeah. That should be the only thing they're focusing on, you know, because right now I think it's kind of it's laughable. I think it's just unprofessional. Mm-hmm.
Is it a holdover from Windows 8? That was kind of my thinking, right? Like when they tried to make everything touch first and touch
only. It absolutely is. And they've, you know, it's gotten prettier and all that kind of stuff. But I remember, I think it was Chris Jones who was running the Windows Live stuff, showed off the first version of what became Windows 8 Mail or whatever. And there were a couple things going on there because they were, you know, those guys ran the Outlook.com stuff. And so the notion was we have this technology that we created for the web. And we're going to bring it to Windows because I believe it was written in JavaScript and HTML and CSS. And that was kind of exciting to me. But the thing they came up with was this completely dumbed down, you know, Fisher-Price application. Because, of course, they had to make it work with touch, too.
Right.
Or touch primarily, maybe.
Touch first. I remember when all those things started coming out for touch first, I'm like, yeah, okay. It's like the least common denominator. Yeah.
Exactly. You know? What about the other 99.9% of us who are using this on a real computer? Can we get something that works for us too? Is that too much to ask?
I agree with you. And I was looking at your comments on this story on your site, and everybody's like,
I don't get that a lot, by the way. That was nice.
Everybody's like, he's right. And wait a minute. Paul's right.
I really like it. That's nice.
But that, you know what that shows you? It's like, you're not the only one thinking that. Everybody else is kind of like, oh, guys, what are you doing? Right.
I mean, there was a rumor this week that Apple supposedly is going to scale back its ambitions to add new features to the next version of iOS so that they can get it right fundamentally, like fix the problems. You know, because I talk about this forever. That is absolutely what Microsoft needs to do. And Mary Jo has come up with this notion of, okay, you're going to upgrade Windows twice a year. We get it. But how about making one of them an R2 release? That's when that kind of work would happen. It's fit and finish work. It's important. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a fantastic idea.
It's not happening.
I don't know how
so
much
far.
Crap you can add to Windows at this point. I mean, what's the point of that?
I know.
Part of that fit and finish work, part of that R2 idea, part of that getting the fundamentals right or finishing the job, or however you want to say it, would involve rethinking those apps and really getting them right. And it's so overdue.
Yeah. It's an idea, but no one seems to be caring about that idea. every new feature update, it's like, no, let's add like 50 million new things and make some fixes.
Well, let's add nonsense, you know, that no one's going to use, you know, while we ignore, you know, we were talking about Polaris earlier, right? One of the things I think a lot of people would agree with, when they look at Windows 10 and they're like, okay, so you got this modern stuff in here, but you also have this old stuff in here that's never been updated, like File Explorer, right? Mm-hmm. And we see these really small things from time to time. You know, you bring certain settings from Control Panel into the Settings app, and everyone seems to love that, the fonts thing that's coming in the next release or whatever. Okay, that's good. It's nice, like, incremental work. But, you know, I think getting the file system or the file management aspect of the operating system modernized is a much bigger deal than adding a 3D app, which frankly could just be in the store, or Windows Mixed Reality, which frankly should just be in the store, or whatever. Like, like why this stuff has to be in Windows out of the box. I brought a Surface Pro the other day, the new one, from scratch. It had 6 games on it.
Yeah.
6. Mm. Like that 6 crazy, stupid. Yeah. That's a pro system.
Mm.
These are basic. Yeah. Basic issues, in my opinion.
Yep. And that
so let's talk
Microsoft
about two
for,
stupid
right?
apps.
Yeah, here's a much improved app, Remix.
Yeah, so actually, it's interesting because they are improving some apps, and I don't necessarily agree that the Photos app is the right place for this stuff, but the big one here is the Photos app, right, which has got those story remix features in the Fall Creators update. And then they've been adding stuff over time, and they've been getting closer and closer to that demo they gave us at Build last year, where they showed off all this kind of AR and 3D integration, right? It's
the
kind of a
flaming soccer
thing
ball thing.
soccer ball, right. So it's kind of a goofy thing to have to tell someone, but there's a really good video editor in Windows 10. It's hidden in the Photos app, so you have to go look for it. Mm-hmm. But you should go look for it. If you have any need for this kind of thing, it's there. The remix feature, which comes from Chris Pratley and his team, and is based on what they did first in Sway, so you've probably used something like this, is this mm-hmm. notion of, I have this content, and in this case, yeah. it's going to be photos and short videos. And I want to mix it into a thing that will be a video that I'm going to share with other people. Here's my trip to Paris, or here's the family reunion, or whatever it is. Most people don't have the aptitude to sit down with Premiere and edit a video and add, you know, music to it and all that kind mm-hmm. of stuff. And so this kind of a tool has some value, like it makes sense. And it's getting there. And so in the latest update, it's funny because they use that soccer example with the flaming ball. I believe it's the same video. You can pick who the subject of the video is. So the sports is a great example. Your kid's on the team. You have a bunch of video. I want you to mix a video from this. Here's the person I want you to focus on. And it will just show you the parts of the video mixed together semi-professionally that are of that person doing stuff, mm-hmm. right? That's a great idea. I have yep. zero use for it personally, but I don't. I'm never going to use it. But I think it's the type of thing I think. This is the digital media kind of thing that I think a lot of people got really excited about with computers. Mm-hmm. And it has still to this day remains a very difficult task. So it is pretty cool. That's yeah. a rare example of a pretty cool app in Windows 10. Mm-hmm.
I never thought anybody'd want to do video editing after doing it professionally. I thought this is just yeah. painful.
Yeah. That's awful. It's yeah. And I still to this day in my cellar have, and I've moved this to three different houses now, the little Super 8 videotapes I made of my kid when yeah, he was someday. 8. And it's like, I stopped saying someday. Someday, I don't know mm-hmm. what to do with it. You look at it like, I can't throw it away. Mm-hmm. I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chat room has found all of the PC-matic ads.
Oh, yeah.
do we have a link where we can you,
yeah, it's on YouTube.
Can you show it?
Yeah. This is the one with the sheriff's office. For Iberville Parish. I don't, you know.
When you started using PC-matic,
it doesn't say actor.
You're dealing with personal information, just like a bank would.
For crying out loud, isn't that illegal?
Addresses. So you need text numbers, date of birth,
addresses. This guy is on tax, working for the taxpayers' dollars here.
Addresses. So you need protection to make sure that all
you don't know nothing,
well,
Captain
Moron.
We
were using Kaspersky and Norton. We were getting malware, adware on a regular basis. Ransomware is a big issue right now. And since we've had PC-matic,
we should look this guy up. See if he still has a job.
The FTC should sue this guy. Not to mention the voters in Iberville Parish.
The white list works perfectly. We love it. It's on everything that we have.
Oh,
it comes in especially handy.
Now, I don't know anything about that product. Is it any good? Look, here's a police officer in his car.
Who is this guy?
There's a guy in his car. Look at, you're on the dime. You're on the taxpayer's dollar here. Stop it using taxpayer gear. Stop it. Yep.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's crazy.
That's got to be illegal.
It should be.
It's corrupt as hell. Look, see, they show
Iberville.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, American flag. Yeah, because it's made in America. By the way, I feel like I wouldn't really trust any virus made in America.
Yes. No.
I don't know why.
Maybe if Intel made it.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
So this place is in Louisiana.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know. Do you know PC-matic? I don't know the product. I don't know if it's good or bad. I have to say this predisposes me to think they're not good. Mm-hmm. You know, when you see a company start to wave the American flag like that, usually means they're scoundrels. Right?
Scoundrels.
Patriotism. It's the last refuge of scoundrels. That's a good word, isn't it?
It's funny. They have detailed reports on their arrests. I wonder if they have a digital section to their site.
Let's go visit Ibbot. What is it, Iberville?
Yeah,
look them up. The Better Business Bureau.
They're in Plaquemine, Louisiana.
So they're real. That's a real town.
Oh yeah, no. Yeah. The guy's name was on the wall. That's the sheriff. He's still there.
Oh man, I find this depressing.
Brett Stasi, not to be confused with the Stasi, I guess.
Yeah, Stasi. Yeah. Windows camera is getting an update. What is Windows?
Yeah, that we could spend about 10 seconds on that. Yeah,
Where do you even use that?
Right. So if you had a Surface Pro and you wanted to be like one of those goons who takes pictures on their iPad, you could take it out into the world and do that. But actually, to be fair to Microsoft, no, there's nothing I can say to make it fair to Microsoft. There's a legit use for the camera that ties into some of this new goofy stuff they've been adding to Windows 10, which is that you can actually do augmented reality through the back camera. To be fair, we talk a lot about doing that on your phone. It works great. It works just as good on Windows. It's built in. The screen's bigger, right? And so for the same reason, you know, like an older person might want to use an iPad when they're taking a picture out in the world. If you want to do any work with augmented reality and you're creating 3D objects and so forth and you want to see what they look like on a real space, you can do it through your computer's camera. And it actually works pretty well. So apparently...
Yeah, might as well. I mean, you're putting a camera on the back of a thing. You might as well make it a good software.
Historically, just for those people who kind of missed the Nokia days and the Lumia phones and so forth, it's worth pointing out that the camera app in Windows 10 is, in fact, based on the software that was in the camera app on the Nokia devices originally and then later on Windows Phone. So it does have that same kind of user interface, which is kind of cool. I don't, again, this is like so many things. I don't personally have any use for this on a computer, but it's funny when you look at the pictures of how the camera app works, if you just look at the camera app, I guess. It's interesting because it's very clearly that the old Lumia camera still kicking around.
A lot of those people stayed. They were like the only ones they kept from Nokia, right?
Yeah,
the people who were the camera specialists. Not all of them stayed, but.
Nokia, didn't they announce a new Android phone that has the Lumia camera bump on it?
Did they?
Yes.
I know they had worked with, was it Leica? No, Zeiss to develop lenses for future phones that would be potentially pretty good.
I mean, so far, I saw this maybe in CES.
Oh, really?
It looked just like the 1020.
Oh, man. Wow.
All right, maybe I had a fever dream. I don't know.
If you look at the back of a Motorola phone these days, they all have that kind of camera bump. It's not as big as the one in the 1020, but it has that look.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to do all the elements without a bump. If you don't want a thick phone,
right?
You got to hide it somewhere.
Yep.
All right, let's get to the really good juicy story.
Okay.
I saw this as a rumor, and I thought, oh, that can't be true.
So I can neither confirm nor deny that Microsoft is considering buying EA, Electronic Arts.
Are you a person familiar with the matter?
No, I'm not.
I am, though. But,
okay, are you?
No.
Okay. But according to a report in Polygon, Microsoft is looking at different things. EA was one. Valve is one. Just buying a game like PUBG would be one. Mary Jo apparently has a plan D, which involves her clutching an Xbox and jumping off of a building. But
that's if they buy them. You know, because then we're going to have to cover gaming even more if they do buy them. So.
I got to be honest. My initial reaction to this was there's no way. And then I sort of mulled it over and I thought to myself, you know, not only does this actually make sense, I really think they should do it. I think they need to make a deal with this type.
The Polygon says the issue is the lack of exclusive titles on Xbox.
I'm not 100% on board with that part of the argument. But I will say the perception of that is absolutely a fact and it's a huge problem for Microsoft.
Can I throw in another thing? Do you guys remember this Bloomberg video and interview they did with Phil Spencer last fall? And he said, out and out, he said, Microsoft is either going to open new game studios or acquire them. He just threw that out there, like, this is the plan.
Well, but right? I think we thought they were going to acquire, like, some little company in Montreal ones. Or some little, you know, like, not a, like, EA is an industry unto itself.
I know, but Microsoft has so much cash.
I mean, it's billions, but they can afford it. But the question is,
tax-free, basically.
Are they repatriating?
This is the time. Yeah, of course they are. By the way, I wouldn't be surprised if today was the day to announce that.
How much does Microsoft have in cash overseas?
I believe they were second only to Apple.
Apple has well over 260.
And it's probably in the 100-something Yeah, it's a huge number.
I think
number.
You're right. Apple probably announced it tomorrow when they do their quarterly results, right?
Yeah, so today's Microsoft, the obvious timing for that.
Where is it? I'm looking for the number because it's some crazy number. It's like, oh my goodness. Yeah.
So here's the thing. Yes, they have the games, and Microsoft needs games. I've talked before about this notion that the future of video gaming in general is cloud-based, and Microsoft is uniquely poised to make that happen. We all know that. The thing that EA has that actually I think is really interesting, and it really plays into the whole Microsoft model, is they have franchises. And franchises are games where a new version comes out every single year, right? And you get your fans to buy the same thing again, but the new version, right? This falls exactly into the whole cloud model, right? Where you subscribe to something and you get every year it comes up and you pay again. And it's kind of a genius scheme. Like they can provide the games. They're uniquely qualified to do that. And they're already set up for this kind of a thing. The other thing that they have, which I think is the hidden jewel of the whole Xbox ecosystem today without EA, is Xbox Game Pass, right? $9.99 a month. All first party Microsoft Studio games will be released day and date to the service. You get it not for free, but you get it for $9.99 a month. It's already an incredible deal.
Actually, I bought it because of Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, it's an incredible deal.
It's a lot cheaper than buying two games a year.
Right.
So
EA has a similar service, by the way. I think it's called EA Access.
Here's the issue to me. EA's business model is based on making games available on every platform.
Mm. Yes.
You take those games exclusive.
No, but hold on a second.
You cut revenue more than half.
This absolutely – no, you don't do that. What is Microsoft doing on the client side already?
Yep.
They're releasing their stuff everywhere. This is entirely in keeping with this company.
So it's not about exclusives. It's just about owning it.
Yeah. No, that's why I said I disagree with that.
Yeah.
I should add, by the way, as far as exclusives go, just as you, if you want kind of a proof point to the exclusives don't mean anything, all you have to do is go look at the list of the top-selling video games from last year. If you look at the top 10 and you see which are on each platform – the same number, 7, were available on the Xbox One as the PlayStation 4.
Oh, interesting.
The other 3 were on Nintendo. Having exclusives – oh, by the way, none of them – that what that means is none of those were exclusives except for the Nintendo ones, right, because Mario, whatever. Exclusives didn't help anyone sell the most games last year. Congratulations. I realize this is an argument. I know this drives people crazy. There's something about Microsoft's evolving strategy in the video game space that makes video game fans nuts. Like they just can't, they can't stand it. But
it's just like the rest of their fans, right? They hate when stuff comes out first on iOS and Android.
By the way, I hate that too. I actually hate that too. But what they're arguing for is more of that. They just want it on their favorite platform. Because Microsoft's not doing it, they're screwing up.
Right.
Microsoft, like Mary Jo hinted at, it's cross-platform. They're not going to take these games and not put them on other platforms. They make more money on other platforms. Mm-hmm. This is where the money is. The point is Microsoft's going to be the cloud engine delivering those games everywhere they're going to go. I think this is long-term, not short-term, but long-term, those platforms go away anyway. They're just going to be delivering the games. The important part is
also
the cloud.
Phil Spencer, same interview with Bloomberg, said within 2 to 3 years, Microsoft is likely to launch a game streaming service, right? So,
right. Of course.
There it is.
Of course.
Running on Azure, everybody.
It makes sense.
Running on
now,
Azure.
Does this mean they're going to buy EA? No. I mean,
no.
It's still a huge company. I think it could happen. I can assure you that Activision and Valve and everyone else is going to complain about it. They're going to raise antitrust concerns even, and we'll see what happens.
Wasn't that part of the rumor too that if they don't buy EA, maybe Valve or maybe right?
I can't
PUBG.
See Gabe Newell selling to Microsoft unless he's in distress.
Me neither. Right. Although Notch hated Microsoft too, right?
Notch hated him. $3 billion.
He took
dollars.
The money and ran. By
yeah,
the way.
Yeah. He's gone.
Well, that factors into this too. I mean, if you go back to when this was announced, no one thought this made any sense. No one thought that Microsoft would do a good job of being the steward of this game, when in fact they are the best thing that's ever happened to this.
Yeah.
You know, it's
gone
incredible
as far as it ever was going to go under under Mojang.
We'll see. I mean, there are smaller examples. You know, Microsoft bought the Gears of War franchise from Epic, and they've done a great job of being a steward for that series. I don't think that Gears of War 4 was a particularly good game, but they brought it cross platform. It's an Xbox Play Anywhere title. So if you buy that game, you get it on both platforms. And by the way, not many people even understand this. For the entire first year of that game's existence, they put out a DLC pack every month with new content. Every month. Mm-hmm. Like, they supported that thing really well. So, you know, Microsoft is maybe a better game company than I think people are giving them credit for.
What's their I'm sorry, Mary Jo. I apologize.
No, guys, you know what? If this happens, I'm going to have to cover games.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say, I'm going to have to retire.
The best reason to do it.
No, well, Mary Jo cover gaming. John Baxter is watching, and he said, Mary Jo, this domain is available. All about Microsoft except gaming.com.
That's awesome. Is the domain all about Microsoft gaming available?
Yeah, see, Paul got that.
Paul, you should buy that.
Be like Jack Spratt and his wife.
I'm good.
So is Microsoft a good steward of game studios? Because, you know, some of these companies, yeah, I think EA has not historically been a very good steward. You get these game companies and trash them.
Exactly. EA is humongous, and that's kind of a problem, honestly. I think in some ways what you might want to do with a purchased EA is maybe diversify it out a little bit and, you know, just keep the core stuff.
The studios are what count. You know, put the little groups, give them autonomy, give them resources, and let them do their thing.
Right. Just what they did with LinkedIn, right? They're letting LinkedIn run it.
They might be better at this. They may not have the ego involved.
I think there's a chance Microsoft could be the best thing that ever happened to EA if this deal ever happens. Like, I think this possibility exists. There are so many people obviously against this. They can't stand it. You know, we're all stuck in our ways, whatever. But I think this could be amazing.
Yeah.
Plus, we would have to talk about it every week forever. It'd be the best.
I mean, I there's no, at least from my experience, there's no love lost between gamers and EA. They're not. They're kind of the evil empire.
Well, I'm reminded of when, what was the Dutch company that bought Budweiser?
InBev.
When InBev, you know, I was thinking, I said at the time, I think I tweeted this probably, I was like, if I was the leader of InBev, I'd announce today that, yes, we have completed our purchase of Budweiser, and we are now getting rid of that beer. You're welcome. You know? I do think there's a similar thing that could happen. I mean, I'm joking, obviously, but I mean, I think there's a kind of a similar thing you could do with EA as well, which it doesn't mean getting rid of games necessarily, but getting rid of the stuff that people can't stand about EA, right? Because the important stuff is the IP, right? Yeah.
Now, it's expensive. I mean, it's 30-some billion dollars. It's hard to imagine Microsoft spending that much on gaming, though.
They have this much.
Seriously,
it is.
No, it is, but.
Yeah, because if you take their word.
No.
Right. Okay,
I know. No, I was going to say, a year ago, I would have laughed about this. Right now, I'm like, yep, could see it happening. Phil Spencer's on the
talk about is the future of the company. Like, what does Satya Nadella say? When he talks about his cloud, obviously, AI, machine learning, gaming. I mean, gaming is always, he always mentions it.
My eyes were opened to all of this by a really good article by Oras Didiu at Simco. He was talking about Apple, not Microsoft. But basically, what he argued is that this is really shareholders' money, that companies are not supposed to, profits are not an asset. In a sense, they have to be balanced on the balance sheet by a liability to shareholders. So you don't just get to, oh, good, I could put it in my pocket and spend it on anything I want. And he points out that companies acquire other companies for one of three reasons. Cash flow, you know.
Right.
And I guess you could argue EA probably has pretty good cash flow.
Absolutely. That's what the franchise thing is, by the way, right?
Business model.
Churn.
Which you could probably argue EA's business model is a pretty interesting one from Microsoft's point of view. It's not the same, right? Somewhat different. Or assets or intellectual property. I think on all three counts,
this
would make sense. Yep. He says the problem with big acquisitions, one of the reasons Apple doesn't do these, is the culture clash.
Yes. Yep.
Assimilation is tough. Right. And we saw that with HP Compaq. AOL Time Warner. These are notoriously difficult when you have large companies merging with large companies.
Yep.
But this might be one of those cases where, You know what Horas thinks is that Apple will do one thing with this money, which is they have $100 billion in loans to buy back shares, sure. pay that off, mm-hmm. and then buy back. You know, buy back shares with the rest of it. He says you're not going to see him pay dividends only because dividends are tax advantaged. Mm-hmm. And I don't know anything about this. I'm literally just quoting this guy. But all of it made sense.
If Microsoft was getting $100+ billion back into the country and could spend 30 something, but whatever the figure is,
shareholders would say, you know, you have to show us we're going to get cash flow, or you know, mm-hmm. we're going to get something out of this.
But I think
otherwise
that's there.
We want it.
This is
but
a
I think
successful
you're right.
business.
I think this might be the one where
this
it
makes
make
way
sense.
More sense than LinkedIn. What did LinkedIn cost right. Microsoft?
$26.2 billion.
So this is roughly.
Are you
the
kidding
same.
Me? This is. Nope. I mean, this is a no-brainer.
And you know, the synergies I see looking at it from a pure non-gaming stuff, like all the stuff they could put on Azure from EA, right? Like that bolsters mm-hmm. the Azure part of the business for sure. Yep. Subscriptions, right? Microsoft moving to a subscription model and the whole idea of streaming and selling
it's
Game
like
Pass.
It's like Microsoft keyword bingo. It's hitting on every square.
Kind of is. I mean, I'm not saying I think they are going to do this because they just did buy LinkedIn at the, you know, a year and a half ago. So that would be two pretty huge acquisitions to manage back
like
to back.
You lifted the cushion from the couch and you're going to vacuum it and there was $30 billion sitting there and you're like, you know what? I think I'm going to buy EA.
You know what I could see him doing to maybe even test the waters is more of a partnership with EA in some way, right? Like Peggy Johnson's out there forming all these partnerships. So what if they did some really amazing, crazy partnership?
Before the possibility of Microsoft buying EA came up, I never envisioned this kind of a purchase, to be clear. I never said this is, you know, this type of thing is what they need to do. What I did imagine was that kind of partnership. In other words, As gaming becomes less device-centric, less platform-centric, you go to companies like Activision, EA, Valve, mm-hmm. Sony, by the way, Nintendo, and mm-hmm. say, hey, we get this cloud thing. That's awesome. You should be delivering games on that. And that is actually how I saw this happening. Now, mm-hmm. Phil Spencer has really voiced this notion of needing to have first-party game studio work, you know, and this is something they kind of got away from and they've, you know, gone in and out over the years. And so, God, is there a bigger / better version of that than EA? I'm not aware of it. I mean,
you know, if they buy them, it's going to make a really interesting company. Microsoft, like it makes almost the case to split the company again in a way.
Boy. Right? Oh, boy.
It kind of does because, here's all this enterprise stuff you're doing over here, right? Intelligent cloud, intelligent edge, Office 365, blah, blah, blah. Here's all your gaming stuff and your AR stuff over here. Okay. There are some synergies between the two, but couldn't you run it better as two companies?
So I used to be a big fan of the notion of Microsoft needing to be split up. The fact that they've existed for so long in their current capacity, it's like I don't see the need anymore. In fact, for a long time it was kind of antitrust related, frankly. I mean, that this company kind of needed to be split up, frankly. But the split that I think happens, and I think this happens regardless of whether they buy EA, that somehow the gaming part of Microsoft is just going to get bigger, whatever form that takes. What I think happens is Phil Spencer and the Xbox group becomes a separate top-level business unit, and it gets out of Windows and more personal
Windows
computing,
and devices.
Whatever they called it.
Windows and devices.
It really, frankly, doesn't make sense. And if this thing is that strategic, that's how I see that happening. And he is on the senior
leadership
board.
I think that's a good
idea.
I could see them making four business units instead of the three, right? That might make more sense.
You know, entertainment, you know, whatever you want to, you call it Xbox. I mean, well, it's Microsoft. You call it something stupid. But, you know, the entertainment part of their business, which is mostly Xbox, should be a separate thing. But it could be a separate thing within Microsoft.
Hey, just in. WhatsApp desktop now in the Microsoft
store. Oh, you ruined
store.
I put it in my desktop.
Sorry. It just happened, though.
No, it's I know. Sorry. It's in the notes. Sorry. You can look. It's on the notes.
Ignore that. Back
actually,
to Xbox.
Listen, you literally have already said everything I know about it, so it's not like there's a big surprise.
You can find out more later If.
No, you can just find out the same thing later. I don't have any more.
Oh, by the way, okay, speaking of Microsoft buying gaming vendors, they did buy a gaming vendor this week.
Oh. Yeah.
PlayFab, who I had never heard of.
Yep, me neither.
So they make a back-end platform for people who are building cross-platform cloud-connected games. So Microsoft bought them. Yep, very interesting. Brought them for an undisclosed amount. They have some pretty big gaming companies who they've worked with, like Disney, Rovio, Atari. I mean, they've got the who's who in the customer list, right? That's PlayFab's customer list. And 700 million gamers have been served from PlayFab on the back end. They're kind of a startup. They're 4 years old. And interestingly, when I was looking through their old press releases to try to figure more out about them, they had been working with IBM on Watson AI stuff. So you can guess what's going to happen there. It's going to become Microsoft AI stuff.
Yep.
But yeah, this is an Azure play, guys. This is like all about Azure. You know, this whole back-end system going on Azure, I'm sure.
That's why this makes sense for Microsoft. I mean,
I know. Yeah.
This really does make sense. I mean, it's not necessarily about individual games that we may or may not like. It's Microsoft's unique ability to drive the back end of what I think we all agree is the future of gaming. I mean,
that may be the way I back into this.
from the data center.
Azure. Like, here's the Azure angle on what they're doing today. Yeah, maybe.
Yep.
And maybe by acquiring a company, understanding how that works for those companies, they can be a better provider for others.
I don't know.
Maybe it's informational. I mean, how much did they pay?
For PlayFab?
Yeah.
Oh.
Who knows?
Oh, had you moved on? I was getting a cup of coffee.
Oh, no, sorry. We just mentioned PlayFab.
Is that what we're going to call that?
I thought I'd have something in contrast to Paul's giant mug. It's a small, small.
It's because you kept bringing up Java on the show.
You know, don't inhale too fast. It might disappear. When you just need a little pick me up.
This is my eighth one so far. Oh, they're so small. It's not.
It's as small as a capsule that most people put into a coffee machine.
But it's probably as strong as.
It's very strong.
Probably as strong as a 17% beer.
It's the 17% beer of coffee. Yep. Look at that.
Look at that. Looks nicely made, though.
Mm.
It does.
Mm-mm-mm. Yum, yum. Did you talk about PUBG yet while I was gone?
No, just a quick update on PUBG, which somehow inexplicably, because it's terrible, is like one of the best selling and best performing
really?
Games.
Really? You
on
think
Xbox.
It's terrible?
Yeah, I hate PUBG. I don't understand the popularity of this game at all. But
what don't you like
I should
about
say,
it? I mean, you're a Call of Duty guy.
I don't like anything about it. And the reason is it's one game mode with one map, right? In Call of Duty, that would be one map and one game mode.
Point.
In a broader thing that includes all kinds of different things.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Fortnite
has the Battle Royale, but also a P versus E game. So there's more. Yeah.
I don't understand it.
Yeah.
But regardless of my opinion, I think one thing anyone would agree if they've actually played it is that on the Xbox in particular, it's not very good. The performance isn't there. The graphics aren't as good. It's buggy. And
4 million people disagree with you, Paul.
Yes. By the way, I know. So there you go. I'm getting older and I'm getting comfortable with being wrong. Like, in fact, I'm kind of embracing it.
I don't think you're wrong. Actually, I don't think you're wrong. I think you're rational. But people are really, I think people like the Battle Royale thing.
Sure.
Is there a COD Battle Royale? No.
No. I don't think the current game has this, but on Call of Duty, we've had various kind of King of the Hill modes, you know, which is... sort of like that. I don't know.
You really have to sip these little tiny cups.
I mean, I would say... it
sounded like you were slurping
way.
Noodles.
Activision, right? Yeah, Activision, over the next 9 months or whatever, will release probably, I think it's 4 DLC packs for Call of Duty. The first one actually came out today or yesterday on the PlayStation 4. There are 3 new multiplayer maps. I think there's a new zombie experience and whatever else. There's some stuff in it. They could duplicate PUBG in one of these things very easily. I mean, to me, it's just like here's a new game mode, you know? It's It's not that complicated. Yeah. So I don't quite get it.
There is somebody saying Marsworm says, Paul, PUBG's had a new map out for weeks.
Excuse me. There are two maps. My bad. You guys are just blowing it out of the water. Yeah. Enjoy the rest map.
The maps. I do have to say Fortnite, which is free, at least right mm-hmm. now, is, I think, much more fun than PUBG, but it's not as realistic, you know. PUBG, yeah. you know, is one of those realism
sure.
games. But Fortnite's fun, even though I get killed.
I mean, look, right we all away. Have different tastes. I'm not, don't get me wrong. I don't mean to suggest that people who like this game are in any way ridiculous or infantile, although I think there's a case to be made.
It's funny because there's a new, two or three guys from Apple have started a new competitor to Twitch. Called Caffeine. Yeah, Caffeine.tv.
And they got some crazy valuation.
Yeah, they got a lot of money, 40 or something million.
But
I went there this morning to look at it.
Yeah.
And watched a PUBG game in which somebody gets killed. The first, they get killed immediately.
Yeah.
And then say, well, that's good. I had to go to the bathroom anyway.
Yeah, go like, enjoy a sandwich. You'll be back in 30 minutes. No, it's not fun. That's my point. It's terrible. Anyway, no, I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. It's terrible. Look, everyone likes different things. I get it.
Whatever turns you on. I like a little
teeny weeny
cup. I've
certainly been playing shooters for 20-something years. I understand the appeal of this kind of game.
I'm gonna give you, Paul, because there's another cup I have. You could fill this with 52 ounces of coffee.
Oh, man.
And that would get you through the day.
I do
drink espresso every morning, but I have a double espresso cup that I use that's probably twice as big.
We have a bigger espresso cup, but I just thought, you know what? It's a new coffee maker. We only have three now in the studio. And I just thought I'd try it out. It's quite delicious.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, it's Illy makes a little pod system. It's like the Keurig pod, but it's an espresso pod.
Oh, so it's an actual Illy pod,
and it does a great job. Yeah.
Okay. We use Illy coffee, but we don't
love Illy. So it's a little Illy pod. Yeah.
Yep. It's good.
I feel like I should be Hercule Poirot sipping his hot chocolate. So let's talk about.
That's a priceless grand piano. Not anymore.
Not anymore. Let's talk about
priceless Steinway.
Does your dog bite?
That is not my dog.
Here is the Illy pod.
Yeah, here you go.
Yeah, they're little. It's actually I'm really happy with the coffee. I feel bad about the waste though. You know these pods.
Sure,
but for work. Environments, I think a little pod like that is a better thing. Because
you could use that for a beer tasting cup or something.
you could, but
like, you know, if you want to get a taste of something, you could just use it. Just thinking ahead for you guys.
It's, you know, you can they do recycle. You can package them up and send them back to Illy. I guess we probably will.
It's like putting white wine in a stemless glass. What are you, a Philistine?
How are you supposed to hold that? Let's talk about Office 365.
Yeah, let's.
Let's. It's a good topic.
Guys.
Yeah.
How about Teams? All right, let's talk about Teams first.
Oh, good.
Because this week, Microsoft did a big update to Teams. In fact, they claim it's their biggest update since Teams launched last March. So there's a whole bunch of new stuff. There's now a Teams app store right in Teams. There's a new app that's powered by the Microsoft Graph, by the way, called Who, that lets you search for people in your org by name or topic. Part of Teams now. Lots of integrations of apps into Teams right now. Things like Excel, Trello, Envision, SurveyMonkey. So instead of having to take a screenshot of something to put it in a conversation, now you can just inject the data in there. Just like applying a GIF. So easy.
What?
that's actually something
injecting
they said.
Injecting the data is just like, what did you say? Applying
they said
a,
that.
A GIF?
It's like, you know, like you can just put it right in there. And then the
does
Slack.
It have stickers? Does it have
bend
stickers?
Over. I'm going to inject
stickers.
It has stickers. Teams has stickers.
Stickers.
Oh, Lord.
But wait, there's more. Slash commands.
Oh, so I love those.
Quick slash command for doing something like adding someone to a team, calling a coworker. You can now do it with a slash command.
We have slash commands in our IRC. You could slap somebody with a fish
Nice.
It's not as useful.
So all these are rolling out immediately, they said. So you should have it soon if you don't already have it in your Teams client. And by the way, I had a question this week. Why is the Teams client not in the Windows store? Sorry, in the Microsoft store. Why is that not in there? And somebody, when they asked me, I'm like, of course it's in the store. And I looked, I'm like, no, nope, it's not. What? So I think theory, progressive web app. So maybe not till spring.
It's on the way. They've explicitly said that the Teams has been implemented as a web app. It's not technically a progressive web app today, but it was designed in such a way that it will be. And at that point, it would probably come into the store.
Yeah.
Oh, at that point, of course it would come into the store.
Remember last week during the show, you were like, the Office apps are in the store. And I'm like, wait, are they? Are they? Yeah. They are. The Centennial Office apps, the ones they brought over with the desktop bridge, are in the store, but only if you have Office 365 Home or Personal. That's how you can access them right now.
That's right.
So you can get them from the store.
I think you could just subscribe from there. Like if you don't have it yet, you could do that.
Right. Individually. But you can't get it if you have an Office 365 business subscription, though, right? You can't access these apps through the store yet.
So I need to test this because the truth is you probably could, right? If you downloaded them and signed in with your Office 365 premium or business premium, kind of whatever the name is, I bet they would work. But the problem is you wouldn't be getting the full value of your subscription because you're not getting OneDrive.
All the business apps.
What do you call it? I'm losing my mind. Skype for Business.
It's not available. Right. Yeah. Exchange. Okay. You wouldn't get any of that.
So the other thing is, if you happen to have both accounts, which I do because I'm an idiot, I could sign in with my Office 365 Home account, and that kind of activates the product. And then you can go into any of the apps and just sign in with your Office 365, I think it's called Business Premium account. And that would give you access to your cloud-based stuff in Exchange. It's in an Office 365 or whatever. Your calendar, your email, your contacts. Your OneDrive for business storage, that should be available as well. Mm-hmm. Although I think you can do that just in Windows 10 without getting the suite. So you would get all that stuff, right? But there are a couple of things that you would get Teams. You wouldn't get Skype for Business. I keep wanting to say SkyDrive for Business. Skype for Business.
Yeah.
And probably a few other things I'm not remembering. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of, planner and web type stuff. But
Vizio.
Maybe Vizio.
That's not part of this.
No, definitely Vizio. Vizio is not part of it. Anyway, I'll test that. That's an interesting scenario.
Yeah, because I didn't think you could. When I asked Microsoft, I'm like, so is this for everybody who has Office 365? They're like, no, just consumer subscriptions.
Oh, well, I have one of those.
Yeah, I mean, but there's a...
There may be a way to go around it. First, you have to uninstall the apps if you have them, right? To test this or to get them.
And then so you install from the big installer.
Get them from the store then, right?
Oh, the store, yep.
It's funny because they actually kind of come... There's a main app thing that you never really see, but there's individual apps in the store. So when they're updated, they're kind of updated individually. I kind of like the way they do it in the store. I'm going to try this. That's
you're talking about the Windows store? Or is there an Office store?
Yeah, the Microsoft store.
The Microsoft store, which used to be called the Windows store.
I don't feel bad about that.
No, we still call it the Windows store all the time. Anyway, I do. I don't know if you do, Paul, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. All the time. I just called Skype SkyDrive. How would I ever get over a new name like that?
So when I search for Teams, I get Slack.
I know. Yeah, you do.
Well, then the store's working.
Yes.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. You do.
Oh, you didn't want Teams. You probably wanted Slack.
What happens when you search for Thieves of Seas? Thief of Seas or whatever the game was.
Yeah.
Or the stupid
King of Thieves? Thief of Seas. Yeah. Thief of Seas.
Somebody made something called Thief of Seas. Seriously. Yeah. And then Microsoft put it in their store.
Well, let me see if I search for Sea of Thieves, at least doesn't show Thief of Seas. I think it's great that the guy's honest enough to say, I'm a thief. I keep wanting to pre-order it, and then I realize, oh, no, I have the game thing, the game pass. I don't need to pre-order.
No, you're just going
to
get it. It should be pretty soon. It's in a beta right now. It's
I think the beta is over, but they said March for the pre-order.
Okay.
So it's going to be a while.
Okay, so guys, could I make a request?
Oh, sorry. Yes, Mary Jo.
No, it's okay. So Microsoft earnings are imminent, and I have to be off this call at 4:15.
Okay. We got 10 minutes to do it.
I was going to ask if I could do my picks first if you guys want to just flip it around.
Sure. Yeah.
Is I can also possible? Just blow through it if you want. I can just blow through
this. Let's just
do it. Two Sonos speakers for the price of one HomePod. Paul Thurrott's so Apple tip of the week.
Apple finally released the HomePod. It's coming out any day now. You can order one now. It's $350, or you could get two Sonos One speakers with Alexa support.
Effectively
the same
thing, just not Siri.
But
just
with stereo and the better
room sound.
Yep.
We're going to do my HomePod comes a week from Friday, and we're going to do a blind sound test with the Sonos One, the HomePod, a bunch of different kind of.
The one you need to compare it to is the Google Max, because that's another single speaker system.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'll try that as well.
Sonos
5. What about the Harman? The Harman sound is good, isn't it?
I have the Harman sound is very good. You know what?
Sound is very good, but this is a different class of speakers.
1949, the first daytime TV soap opera debuted.
No one was talking
to you. These Are My Children aired live on Chicago's NBC station on weekdays for 15 minutes.
Sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It sounds good when it's spouting nonsense, even.
The other tip is, as everyone knows who listens to this, Microsoft routinely has sales on Xbox One, the bundles and free games and whatever. I could be wrong, but I think this is the first time that one of these deals involved the Xbox One X. And so right now, you can buy any Xbox One and get a free game of your choice, and it includes the Xbox One X. So the console itself is not on sale, but you actually do get a free game. So
that's a good deal.
Worth looking at.
That's a good deal.
App pick, a couple things. Well, Mary Jo mentioned WhatsApp desktop app is not available. I literally didn't know any more than that. I don't even have a link to anything, but it is now available in the Microsoft Store. Microsoft has a very interesting code. Actually, it's an app generator, really. It's called Ink to Code. Mm. It's a Microsoft Garage project. So this may be something that never happens as an app. It may get rolled into Visual Studio or the developer tools, but basically it's a way to draw with the pen and then create like a user interface for an app. Which looks kind of interesting.
Yeah. What a great idea.
Yeah. But the big app pick is OneDrive and the Office mobile apps on iOS, which is, I think, Word, PowerPoint, and Excel, the three big ones, have all gotten a huge update. Are getting a huge update. I spent a bunch of time trying to figure this out last night when I finally realized, actually, I don't have any of this stuff yet. And so the biggest deal here, I think, is on the iPad Pro, where you can do some advanced multitasking things, a split screen view where you can drag items between different apps. You need your apps to be compatible for that to work. And that's what they've added here. So if you kind of imagine you've got Word open on one side of the screen and OneDrive with your photos, and you want to drag an image into a Word document, you will be able to do this now. It doesn't actually work today, at least not on my version of the iPad Pro, but as the app updates get rolled out, that is coming. And so it's nice to see Microsoft making an iPad more useful to people
Nice. So. Thank you, Microsoft.
Yep.
Thank you.
They do.
And cross-platform. Oh, by the way, the chat room's telling me that the same guy who did Thief of Seas also made an app also in the Microsoft Store called Granny Theft Auto.
These are like porn names.
This guy,
like porn movies that like resemble real movies.
Granny Theft Auto. I would buy that. That sounds great. Yeah. Time for Mary Jo Foley.
First, I'll give you a quick pitch on the earnings that are just out.
Q2
FY18 revenues $28.9 billion, up 12%.
I was going to say that seems high.
Nice.
Yep. Gains in Windows OEM revenue.
Yeah.
Wow. Gaming revenues up 8%, Surface up 1%, Office up 10%. So, yeah, not bad, Microsoft.
Nice. Facebook also having good
returns. Facebook right now too, right?
Yeah. Yep. Wow.
Okay, Enterprise Pick of the Week, Azure Standard Support. So, you know, Microsoft and Amazon are in this tete-a-tete for AWS versus Azure. So Amazon had been offering business support for customers at $100 a month. So Microsoft before last week was offering Azure standard support for $300 a month. Guess what they did? They cut it by $200 to match AWS. So Azure standard support is now $100 per month. But to be eligible, you have to purchase Azure standard support directly from Azure.com via a Microsoft online services agreement. So if you're an enterprise account, this doesn't apply to you because you're getting discounts other ways. If you're a government customer, you also are going to get a steep price cut from $375 to $125 if you're an eligible Azure government customer. So competition is good, and your Azure standard support is going to get quite a bit cheaper in the not so distant future.
Nice.
That's the enterprise tip.
And I think we're going to do a new feature on the show with Mary Jo Foley.
Right. So instead of doing a code name this week, I thought to do a micro speak pick of the week. And if you know Raymond Chen, who does that great The Old New Thing blog over at Microsoft, he does microspeak from time to time. So he gives you terms that Microsoft employees say or use in a different way or a funny way. But what I was thinking of adding into the whole, idea of microspeak is some of the weird kind of terms they use. They're not quite code names, but they're things they talk about that other people don't. So Brad, last week when he was writing about the recent reorg in Kudo Sonoda's group, he said there was something called a pentad. So he and I were both trying to find out what
you're
the heck
pentad.
Is a pentad.
No, you're
right.
A pentad.
You're a pentad. So I found out what it is, I think. So remember when Windows was organized around triads? They had dev, test, and PM, and then they had dev, PM, and data. So they had like three people working together as the top honchos reporting into the team. So I think the pentad is this with five roles. So instead of just having like dev, test, and PM, Kudo Sonoda's team has, let's see, what did somebody tell me? This is funny. I got to find it in my notes here. Sorry. What did they say? Dev, PM, data, design, and business. So instead of having three, a triad, or even four, a quad, he has the pentad.
Mm-hmm. That's a good word, actually. I like pentad.
It kind of is, because pentad obviously is a group of five, right?
Yeah.
So makes sense.
I like it.
Yep. Yep. So if you ever hear somebody at Microsoft talking about the pentad just casually, like when you're riding around on the corporate shuttle, this is what they mean.
Before we get to the beer for reading Microsoft's quarterly results with, I just want to mention that Granny Theft Auto Reloaded is on sale. Just
I think this guy's games are all on sale.
24
actually.
Cents.
The guy.
And it's got a great plot. Help Granny get brand muffins and explore the big city. So, love that. You know what? This actually may be a real game. It may be that the Thief of Seas is a real game in that sense. All right, Mary Jo, we need beer to read these quarterly results with.
I think we definitely need a beer.
Yes.
So Paul, when he was drinking beer, used to love Avery Brewing.
I didn't tell
Colorado.
Yeah,
Avery's still the favorite.
On his recommendation. Yep. I love it.
I know. They make so many good beers, and they make a lot of big barrel-aged beers, like 17%, 20%, right? But they also, I didn't realize, make a lot of really good sours. And I haven't done a sour pick in a while.
I love sours.
So Avery Ginger Sour. If you find this beer, and if you like ginger, the flavor of real ginger, you should try it. It's like a shot of ginger in a sour beer. It's like you drink it and you're like, wow. It makes your eyes open wide, and you feel like you could fight any flu right off by drinking this.
I'm sad now that my son's not at he's graduated from CU Boulder. I won't get to go to Avery anymore.
I know.
I'd love to try this.
It's really good.
We're going to let Easter, you both go because Microsoft's earnings are coming out and you need to report.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good quarter. Of course, go to allaboutmicrosoft.com and get Mary Jo's synopsis. It'll take her a little bit in Notepad, probably 15 minutes. So she's fast. I can only imagine how quickly you type these things out. allaboutmicrosoft.com, that's her ZDNet blog. Paul Thurrott is at Thurrott.com. That's his website, both of them, two of the best journalists in Microsoft coverage today.
Bloggers. We're bloggers.
They're bloggers, and they admit it, and they love it. You'll find Paul's books, because he's an author as well, at leanpub.com. And you'll find them both here every Wednesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1900 UTC, if you want to watch Windows Weekly, done live, as it should be, fresh and hot out of the oven. You can also follow along at irc.twit.tv and on-demand video and audio, as of all our shows, always available at the website, twit.tv/dubdub for this one, twit.tv/ww, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Subscribe. We also invite you to, this week, take our Twit survey. We do it once a year, trying to get a little better handle on who y'all are. And it helps us both understand better how to tune our programming for your interests, but also how you listen. And it helps us talk to advertisers about who's out there. No personal information is ever revealed to anybody. We do not save your email address or any of that, nor do we use it. So please feel free to go to twit.tv/survey. It helps us a lot if you can take that survey. Take a couple of minutes. It's a lot shorter than it's been in the past. Twit.tv/survey. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Mary Jo. Have fun. Get filing. And we'll see you next week on Windows Weekly.